It is a prayer that Paul the Apostle gives to the Romans. And it's one that has echoed throughout the ages. And it is a prayer that we can ask the Lord as well. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is in desperate need of hope. There's a lot of hopeless people. Worldly hope, however, rests upon favoring circumstances. Perhaps when things go well, we say, oh yeah, I have a lot of hope. Or when our football team, BSU, is winning, we have a lot of hope. I say that on purpose. I heard about the game. I suppose I better start watching these things so I can come to church informed, enter into the conversations. But hope in the world is so slender. It's just hanging by a thread. And all it takes is for some circumstance to go bad, and that thread is cut, and there goes people's hope. What gets in the way of peace in people's lives? Well, there's some different things that cause a lack of peace. Some things like unconfessed sin. You know, you just have that guilt that hangs on you, and that could be sometimes for years or a lifetime. Sometimes selfishness. Usually that's a big problem, which can infect relationships with other people. Worry about the unknown, or sometimes worry about the known. We know what's coming, and we're worried about that, and it saps our peace, and it takes away the hope that we have. One of our little conversation pieces is, I hope that happens, you know, or we throw that little word, I hope, out a lot. You know, I hope this happens, you know. Well, I sure certainly hope so. You know, we just kind of throw that out, but how deep really is our hope? We need to look up for our hope. There was a little girl who walked back and forth to school every day. The weather one morning was really getting questionable. The clouds were starting to come in, and kind of those big thunderheads were forming. Yet she made her daily trek to the elementary school. As the afternoon progressed and the weather turned even worse, the wind started to whip up along with a lot of thunder and lightning. The mother of the little girl felt concerned that her daughter might be in danger walking back home after school. So she went to meet her girl at school, but she was already walking. And you can hear the thunder and the lightning. You don't hear lightning, but you see the lightning. And every time the lightning would go, the girl would stop and look up. And then she would walk a little further, and her mother was getting more and more worried as she was hurrying to meet her and hurry her home. And so finally she caught up to her little girl and said, "What are you doing? Why do you keep stopping? We got to get home. This is a bad storm." So the little girl answered, "I'm trying to look pretty. God keeps taking my picture." I kind of like that simple little story, because sometimes we get worried about things. We have to realize that God's in control. We need to look up for our hope. Hope is something that has to be inspired. It is not a natural impulse. It's not something that comes naturally to us. We have to work at it. I think by nature, most of us are pessimists. I thought of bringing the glass half full, but I always get it backwards. I tend to be someone who sees it half empty instead of half full. We're pessimists by nature. And so we need God to bring hope into our life. We're going to look at this verse just phrase by phrase today. It's a very simple verse. My sermon's not complicated today. It's not one of those big, heavy, theological ones that I throw out once in a while. It's very simple. Let's start off with the first phrase. May the God of hope. What is hope? Hope is closely related to faith. Faith is hoping in things that we don't see. We don't know about exactly how it's going to come about. Hope is something that looks forward. It looks towards the future. It looks towards something outside of ourselves. It is something that's positive. It drives us. It keeps us going. The word hope is found 180 times in the NIV translation of the Bible. It's a very frequent concept in the Bible. Hope only has meaning when the present situation could improve. If things are going well and you're all happy, what do you have to hope for? You don't need hope. You're quite happy. Hope means that there's something that can be improved in our life. I don't know about you, but there's always something that can improve in my life. We look forward to at least that internal life. God is the author and source of hope. Notice how Paul says that. May the God of hope, the God who gives hope, the God who originates and is the source of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now these three remain. You know what they are? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon and he asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, 18-0, and we're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged? Replied the little boy. We haven't even been up to bat yet. That's the attitude we ought to have. There are no hopeless situations. Only situations or only people who have no hope. People who have grown hopeless, discouraged, who do not see any way out. One night at a dinner, a man had spent many summers in Maine, fascinated his companions by telling them the story as they gathered around the table. The town of Flagstaff was soon to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the month that before it was to be flooded, all the improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it was soon to be covered with water? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town began to deteriorate, began to fall apart as no one took care anymore. There was no hope. Why worry about fixing things up? And then he added by way of explanation, where there is faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. If we don't have any forward-looking glance, why even carry on in our life right now? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Stick to it. Something about hope is it keeps us going. When things come that discourage us, we just keep going. We don't give up. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so Paul goes on in this little prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. These are two of the first fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then what?
Joy, peace.
Okay, we don't need them all, Shan. Joy and peace are gifts, are fruit that the Holy Spirit puts in our hearts. I like the word fill here. The word is fill is could be like saturate, overflow. It's not simply the glass is half full, it's bubbling over. The Holy Spirit gives these to overabundance. We are saturated. We are filled with joy and peace. God does not want us to experience His grace only in small little bits. He wants us to experience His grace in abundance. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Things of this world give us a little bit of hope, a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy. I mean, you know, I have fun doing some things in life. You know, going on for a hike, spending time with my family, getting a car started, and, you know, things like that. There's fun, some fun things in life. Go out and talk to my chickens. You know, there's things that are halfway fun in this world. But that fun only lasts a short time. And then something happens. The car breaks. Someone gets sick. Something gets my chickens. Anyway. But God gives us enough joy and peace to fill us up no matter what we face. And joy and peace that the Lord gives kind of puts things in perspective a little bit in life. Joy. What is joy? Joy is more than just simply the emotion of happiness. We all have happiness. You know, if something good happens and we're happy, our football team wins, and yeah, you know, we get that emotional rush. But then they lose, and what happens to the joy? So the joy of the world is only short-term, based on the situation. The joy that the Christian has does not depend on the situation. John chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within you." So Jesus gives us his joy within us. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit brings us this joy deep within us. Peace. That's a big word in the news a lot. Peace. It's not simply where there's no more fighting. But in the biblical perspective, peace is happiness, wholeness. Everything is going well. You have a purpose in life. You are going in the direction that God wants you to go in. Very closely related to obedience. Obedience is one of the factors that can bring peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything." Don't worry about it. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And what's the result? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," which is beyond our comprehension, "will guard your hearts." The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. A literal translation of this, maybe your translation is literal, is literally "in the believing." The word for trust and faith are the same word in the original language. Faith involves trusting God. So it is in the act of believing that we experience this joy and peace. So we believe, and the result that we get is that we see the joy and peace of the Lord. We put our trust in God, and he fills us with joy and peace. Joy and peace then come as we put our lives into the Lord's hands. When we try to do it on our own, the joy and peace may not always be there. But when we give ourselves into the Lord's hands, the result will be joy and peace. They do not happen accidentally. They come on purpose as we give ourselves to him. Well, what's the purpose of all of this? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that, here's one of those purpose indicators in the Bible, so that you may overflow with hope. So the God of hope is going to fill us with these things so that we experience the hope that he gives us. God is the source of hope. Who has given you permission to give up hope? You don't have permission to give up hope anymore because God is going to give it to you. And if he's the source, you don't need to worry. No one's going to take your hope away because God is the source of it. He's going to give you hope and your hope will overflow. The same kind of idea. It's not just simply half full, but filling up, overflowing with hope. How is all of this going to happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the resource that makes it all happen. Romans chapter 5, earlier in the letter, Paul says this, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God has been made right. We have peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory. Not only so, we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. When we suffer, it makes us stronger. Perseverance produces character. We become a little more mature because we're going through this suffering. And character produces hope. Hope is the end result of those troubles that you're in. You ever think about that? Whatever troubles you're in, if we carry on with the sequence and we let God do the work in us, the end result will be a stronger hope. Verse 5 continues, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." So the Holy Spirit makes all of this happen. There's a song that we like to sing, and there's a phrase, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Jesus' blood, what He has done for us, is what produces our hope. That is the foundation of it, what He has done on the cross and resurrection. Psalm 42:11. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you sad today?" Anyone sad? Anyone a little discouraged? A little worried, perhaps? A little unsure about the future? "Why so disturbed within me?" Here's the answer. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a famous Russian author, was put in some of the Soviet concentration camps. In recounting his experiences as a political prisoner in Russia, Solzhenitsyn tells of a moment when he was on the verge of giving up hope. He was forced to work 12 hours a day at hard labor while existing on a starvation diet, and he had become gravely ill. The doctors were predicting his death. One afternoon, while shoveling sand under a blazing sun, he simply stopped working. He did so even though he knew the guards would soon beat him to death severely, perhaps even to death. But he felt that he just could not go on. He had no energy left whatsoever. Then he saw another prisoner, a fellow Christian, moving towards him cautiously. With his cane, the man quickly drew a cross in the sand and erased it. In that brief moment, Solzhenitsyn felt all the hope of the gospel flood through his soul. It gave him courage to endure that difficult day and the months of imprisonment that followed. And so today in our hearts, we just need to draw the cross and look towards Jesus. He is our hope. He is the one who brings us hope. And He is the one who gives us the hope of eternal life. And that hope helps us through whatever issues we may face in this life.